today's audio cast for Friday, May 4th, 2007 from AvWeb, the world's premier independent aviation news resource, is brought to you by IFR Magazine. I'm Mike Blakeney reporting. AvWeb contributing editor Mary Grady sat down with Terry Pui of Air Journey at the recent Sun and Fun fly-in to find out more about the fully guided tours that the company arranges for general aviation airplane pilots.
And Terry's going to tell us about all the different things that they do at Air Journey. They've got all kinds of services for pilots, and they've got a lot of new projects in the works.
We are in our 9 years of operation, and we bring to the pilot basically a complete package for him to fly to a foreign destination. Pilots are very capable people, but as soon as you start to talk about foreign experience, there's a lot of red flag rising. So we've decided to bring all of that into a package where we take the pilot by the hand and show them how to fly abroad. Now, the way it worked is through a couple of concepts. The first one is escorted flying journey, where the people will be going with one of our group, where we have a journey director who basically is the shepherd or the butler along the way, taking care of all the details. And the details are made of two concepts, is the everything related to aviation and everything related to the land arrangement. On the land arrangement, we take care of the hotel accommodation, the meals, sightseeing, transfers, activities, all of that in a pre-packaged program, dining are a la carte. And when the people join us, they are charged a flat fee. The only thing left to be paid for any destinations are basically the lunches and drinks. Everything else is part of the program. And we take very good care of our passenger or clients. Now, on the pilot point of view, what we do is tailor-made for the type of aircraft he's flying, navigation log, flight planning, charts, everything needed along the way. We also prepare all of the authorization ahead of the program. If there's any authorization required, we prepare the GenDeck, the immigration document, and so on, and we take care by the hand. Imagine flying to Honduras, flying to Cayman, flying to the Grenadines. You sit in your airplane in the morning, you call the radio, and your flight plan had been filed on your behalf. It's like flying the airline, but you are the pilot. Our journey director are trained to provide a weather briefing the night before every flight, going over the details, what the people can expect along the route of flight. We talk to one another during the flight. We are the shepherd, and we keep an eye on what's happening. Now, my wife, Sophie, got also involved in the picture because she told us at the beginning, 9 years ago, Terry, you're going to do that, but I want my rules. And the rules are we stay at least 2 nights in every place. We never leave before 9 o'clock in the morning, and we only fly in good, decent weather. And that has been our motto for the last 9 years and will continue to be. Our journey director are trained to take care of all of these details, and they are the deciding person on the journey if the journey is a go or no go. If we have weather issues, let's say medical issues or mechanical issues, that leg is scratched, and we go and fix the problem, we push back, we organize whatever. We are in charge of the journey 24 hours a day. We are always a phone call away, fax away, an email away. Now, these are the escorted journey. The same service is provided to our people for the concierge journey, where we do exactly the same thing, except we hold their hands from our main office 24 hours a day, providing them with weather information, providing them with local information and so on, and people can feel very secure of going to a place where we've been before, and how we tell them to do the things along the way. Now, we started, as I say, 9 years ago with a small journey to the Bahamas, and 2008 will be our 10-year in operation, and to celebrate 10 years, we're going to be offering, or we have offered, our first around-the-world journey. Imagine 10 weeks traveling around the globe eastbound. We leave New York on May the 18th. We'll be coming back to San Francisco on July the 27th or Oshkosh on July the 29th. It's going to be a 23,000-mile journey. Same concept of our regular journey, everything taken care of. And at this time, we have 6 airplanes confirmed on the deposit and 3 pending, and we have 9 spots available. 2008 is also going to show our first journey to the Galapagos Island. We're going to be taking the airplane all the way up to the island of, trying to remember the name, I think it's Isabela. The name of the town is Samer. And will be a four-day cruise with people who can tell us about all the culture and all of the animals and so on. And then we'll fly back to Quito, Ecuador before flying back home. Every year we do our journey around South America. That will continue. And we also do several journeys across the Atlantic on the footstep of Lindbergh, trying to show the person how to do it. And I have to say that the transatlantic journey is certainly one of the most complicated and detail-oriented journey. There is no room for error. We have to be very, very careful, and we never have to take anything for granted. You always pay very close attention. And our way of crossing the Atlantic is we need free airport for our destination open, or we're not going anywhere. We need the destination airport plus two way out. If I don't have that, we're staying where we are.
Can you tell us a little bit about the trip around South America?
Yes, the trip around South America was started 4 years ago. It's a 35-day journey where our aim is to reach Ushuaia. We go down on the Pacific side. We have a stop in Panama. Then we have Ecuador. We have Peru. We have Chile. And on the way back, we do Argentina, Brazil, and then French Guiana, Suriname, maybe Venezuela. And then the Grenadines, the Caribbean, the Dominican Republic, and then back home. It's a 13,000-mile journey. Very exciting because there is a lot of culture, a lot of different country, very different condition. We cross the equator both ways. We also go through both of the tropics, and we encounter all kind of weather. Over the years, we've decided to make this journey leaving early March, so we take advantage of the best weather along the way, trying to keep in line the icing, trying to keep in line the wind down south. Very dynamic journey, exciting program. Reserve to airplane, which have at least 1,000-mile range, IFR rated. And it's a very pleasant experience, and it's very nice for us here living in the U.S. to really appreciate what the whole system is for us. When you go further south, you have the same environment, but not the same help. You're on your own for the IFR. You're on your own for the approach. There is very few radar coverage along the way. You have the IKEA rules, not the same as the U.S. rules. So there's a lot of learning process, but it's a fantastic memories. And people leave on our journey as a stranger, and they come back home as the best friend on earth. And that's the most beautiful things we can do.
What kind of experience should a pilot have before they want to undertake something like this, and what kind of aircraft is required?
Well, that question basically varies by answer. That's a Beech-18 in the background. The answer varies on the type of journey we have. We go to the Bahamas, a young pilot, 100 hours, will be very comfortable with what we do. We'll show him the ropes on the ins and outs. Remember, we do this journey VFR only, so we're very conscientious about that. If we go to a journey across the Atlantic, South America, around the world, we need experienced pilot. We have experienced machine, IFR rated, a lot of training and so on. One of the questions when we go to Europe, we might be exposed to an NDB approach, basically monitored. You're going to be on your own, and there's no overlay on the Garmin GPS, for example. So it's a true experience. So we highly recommend the people to do the training before with one of the flight safety or SIMCOM arrangement. You can also use flight simulator. That does help a little bit. But do keep in mind that while we are there to share with you our experience, we also show what need to be done. Pilots on this long journey should really basically study and make sure that they are capable of undertaking such an environment and such a program. It's safe. We take safety very very carefully. That's why weather is very important for us. But you never know. You have to be prepared for the unexpected. That's the rules of aviation. And we keep track of all what we've done. We try to enhance and improve every year. But it's always a learning experience. And we could write books on all of these stories. Many, many, many one.
Just one more kind of technical question. Where do you get the weather then for all of these different legs in these kind of remote areas?
Now, that's a very good question, because that's one of the main things. As soon as we leave the U.S., where do we get that information? Now, since the web is made available to all of us, there's fantastic resource on the web. And we constantly search that information for our pilot. For every one of the specific journey, we have developed a separate website than the Air Journey website, where people can have access to satellite image, radar, there's radar available. We have wind aloft, TAF, METAR, and all kind of information we can have. Some of the leg you're going to see, even webcam at the airport to see what's happening. It's a lot of investment. We took lots of man hours to put all of that together. And one of the funny story I can report is not that long ago, we had a group going down to the Yucatan Peninsula. And you have Key West radar. There's now a radar in Cancun. Not as good as the one you have in Key West, but still doing a decent job. But the question is, what do we have along the way? That's when we find out about the Cuban radar. And there is weather radar in Cuba, which we have access to, and give us access to this Cuban radar, give us beautiful information. Now on our South America journey, we have radar for Buenos Aires, radar for Rio. We have access to the Argentinian website, where we see the tendency of what the weather is going to be, the difference in millibar, isobar, and so on. So it's a long learning process. When we did our first journey to Europe 4 years ago, we were looking for information, weather information in Europe. It's pretty well versed, but we find that the U.S. Air Force has a beautiful website with good information. The funny thing is how we found it was on a Russian weather website. True story.
So what is your favorite trip of all the different journeys you've been on?
They all have a unique situation. What makes us very, very happy is see the friendliness of the people getting all together and sharing this experience together. Each journey is different, but each journey has its own share of joy and see what's happening. When you see the people landing in Paris for the first time on the footstep of Lindbergh and kissing the ground, you know, we've done it. It's very nice to be able to share that experience with general aviation pilot, people who fly the airplane to Cusco, people going all the way down to Ushuaia, the tip of the world. It's absolutely amazing. So every journey is very unique. I haven't decided yet to do a journey to Pittsburgh. Might happen one of these days, but not soon.
Okay, well, thanks very much.
Thank you, Mary.
From on location at the recent Sun and Fun fly-in in Lakeland, Florida, that was Terry Pui of Air Journey, www.airjourney.com. Hey, there's more reasons than ever to log on to avweb.com. Just some of the features you'll find: the Pilot's Lounge, the Savvy Aviator, CEO of the Cockpit, Say Again, Pelican's Perch, Probable Cause, Avweb Business, and Improve Your Piloting Skills with Pilot Workshops. It's all available at www.avweb.com. This report was brought to you by IFR Magazine, the magazine for the accomplished pilot. Check it out at www.ifr-magazine.com. Comments on today's audiocast to audionews@avweb.com, and look for AvWeb's next audiocast on Monday, April 7th. Mike Blakeney for AvWeb Audio. Thanks for listening.